Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah 8, and I'll begin reading with verse 20. I want to say to all the visitors tonight that we love Samuel and Mercy and the children, and we're very honored to have them attend church here, and they're very faithful. They have a good testimony. Samuel's a great teacher in the school for the young people and a good example to them. And we appreciate him very much, and we're very thankful for him. Jeremiah 8, and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Every year when we come to the fall and the winter of the year, I'm reminded of this passage of Scripture. Why is America not healed? Why is America not in unity? Because we've turned away from our God. That's why. And we need to turn back. There is a balm. There is healing. There is ointment for us from the Lord. The Holy Spirit can grant that, but men must turn to God and not turn away from Him. And the summer has come and gone, and we're not saved. The emphasis there is we're not delivered. Christ has not yet come back to take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. And so we wait in anticipation like a farmer waiting for his crops to come in. We wait for Christ to call us to heaven. To be with Him. The problem in Jeremiah chapter 1 and 2, he talks about the fact that the people in chapter 2, he said, chapter 2, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they're gone far from me, have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelt. I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. They didn't ask, where's the Lord? People aren't asking, you know, why are these things happening to us? They might ask in a blame way against God, but not to seek Him for His help. And not to confess their sins unto Him, to turn away from their life, to be able to draw close to God. There are many things that need to be restored in our land and restored in our lives for these things to take place. Turn back with me in the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Jacob, God used in mighty ways, and Jacob was a part of the Abraham's descendants that would inherit the land, and Jacob had 12 sons. God changed his name to Israel, and his sons would inherit the land. And God told him that he needed to go back to Bethel. Chapter 35, verse 1. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. They journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he had fled from the face of his brother. El Bethel means the God of the house of God. It's one thing to have a church building, but if God's not in it, it's nothing but sticks and stones. We must have the Spirit of God to work in us and to bless His Word to us and to enlighten us and to convict so that we might repent of our sins. So this is a house of God, but we want the God of the house to be real to us, and we must know Him and worship Him in order to have His power. Jacob told his family if they were going to go and meet with God, they needed to put away any idols among them. And you can't worship God and worship idols. You can't worship God and worship money. Matter of fact, you can't worship God and worship anything else. He must come first and foremost. He must be preeminent above everything else. He told them to be clean. God bless us with ways for us to be cleansed. The psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So reading the word of God can grant a cleansing effect to us when we read the word. Confession is a way for us to be cleansed. When we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God's people need to put away anything that's separating them from God. They need to be clean. They need to confess to God. They need to get into His Word. They needed to change their garments. Throughout the New Testament, the Bible pictures that before we were saved, we were like an old man. And when we got saved, we became a new man. And we need to put off the old man and put on the new. Like changing old garments and putting on new, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So let us change our garments. And then let us go and make offerings or sacrifices unto God. That involved worship to God. Worship is to ascribe worth. I want you to look at two passages in Revelation. When we think about worshiping the Lord, we can learn from those in Revelation, from the angels and the living creatures or beasts that are there and the elders in heaven who worship God. Revelation 4 and verse 8 through 11. Revelation 4 and verse 8 through 11. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They ascribe holiness unto the Lord. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Crowns are rewards that will be granted to us human beings for serving the Lord. As Christians, we serve God, we'll be rewarded with crowns. And you see here the elders representing the elders of Israel and the elders of believers who are with the Lord. And they cast their crowns before the Lord, ascribing worth unto him. And look at chapter 5 and verse number 11. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. This idea of churches raising your hands, or nothing wrong with raising your hands. If we hold our hands out this way, it's to represent that our hands are clean and holy before God. But worship involves a lot more than that kind of thing. Worship is when we praise God and offer him worth and use the scriptures to describe his being, of who he is and what he has done and all that he does for us. Now, when they got ready with Jacob to go up to Bethel, the Bible says God put the fear of God in all these nations round about them, so no one harmed them or followed them to pursue them. God hedged them about with protection as they passed through the land. And families, we ought to pray every day for our loved one that goes off to work and our children that go off to school, and pray a hedge of protection around them, that God will keep them safe and protect them and keep them in his love and mercy. As they got to this place, God made their way safe. And they built an altar and called it El Bethel, and they returned to the house of God. And there's a big issue today about getting us as a church where we need to be spiritually and trying to influence our nation to turn back to God, is that we need to return to the house of God. Look at 2 Kings 22:1 with me. 2 Kings 22:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. So Josiah was a boy king who came to the throne. He was only 8 years old when he came to the throne, and he reigned for 31 years. And the Bible says in his 18th year that he sought the Lord, and he sent the scribe to the high priest to tell him to restore the house of God. The house of God had come into great disrepair. The people were not attending worship there. They were not holding their feasts and celebrations. And because of that, the house of God had gone into disrepair. So in 22:8, the Bible says, the high priest got busy cleaning up the house of God, and he found a copy of the law. He found the Bible in the house of God. They hadn't been reading it. They hadn't been holding public celebrations. They hadn't been holding worship. So they hadn't been reading the Word of God, and they had not been attending the place of worship. And so Shaphan, the scribe, read the book of the law, and he read it to King Josiah. And Josiah tore his garment, which was a way of anguish with the Jews. He grabbed his outer garment and tore it. And he wept and prayed. And he said to the high priest, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people. So he sought the high priest to make intercession. Today, my friend, if we'll recognize what shape our nation is in, and if we'll get in a heart of anguish on our knees before God and ask our great high priest in heaven to make intercession for us at the throne of the Father, and to speak in a way that our nation would return as their nation did in that day. because their fathers had failed to obey the word of God, all these problems were happening. God heard his prayer, and he heard the prayer of the high priest, and he saw the heart of this young king, and he called all the people to come and to assemble, and he read aloud the word of God to the people, and he told them to remove the idols from their midst, to remove the false priests of Baal from their midst, to remove the sodomites from their midst, to tear down the high places where they offered sacrifice to false god. And he broke down the high places and destroyed the images. He required the people to keep Passover in chapter 23 and verse 21 of Kings. And he again reinstituted the feast that they had forgotten and had not been observing. He put away wizards and workers with familiar spirits, what we call today demon possession. And he found and read the word of the Lord and repented of sin. Now we've come to the end of the year here, a time again where we need to restore ourselves in the house of God. And we need to rediscover the Bible, the word of God. I like the first of the year for everybody to start reading their Bible through again. You could have been saved 50 years and read it through every year for 50 years, but I'll promise you, if you'll read it through again in 2022, you'll learn things you didn't even know were in the Bible, and you'll be reminded of many things that you had forgotten. And it'll be a joy to your soul and a refreshing to your heart. The reading of the Bible caused a revival among the people, and the book had been found in the house of God. They began to clean up, to restore their right ways, to remove their sins. Peter said, like newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. And we should have a desire for the Word like a baby has a desire for a bottle. I've seen some babies around this church that can cry loud enough that we can hear them in the nursery down the hallway with the doors shut because they're hungry. They want to be fed. They want their mama. And they'll let you know it. And, you know, we ought to do a little kicking and screaming if we get withheld from the Word of God ourselves. And too many churches today have become social clubs and entertainment clubs, and they're not preaching the Word of God anymore. And we need the Word of God. Back in the book of James, it speaks of a danger of self-deception. Some have deceived themselves into thinking that they're saved when they are not. They are religious, but they're not righteous. Our nation is filled with religions and filled with religious people. Many people have a relationship with some kind of a denominational church. Seems like many of the leaders of our nation are Roman Catholics. And some of them are so bad, even the Catholics won't let them have communion and that sort of thing. And some of them have been baptized in water, but they weren't having the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb to cleanse them of their sins. And so if they're not cleansed of their sins by the blood of Christ, then getting dunked in water won't do anything for you but get you wet. And there are many people that are like that. They have disguised themselves in their walk. Do you remember the king that sent his wife to go to the prophet of God and she disguised herself as she was someone else? But even before she got there, God said, the king's wife's coming out there, you know. She's going to make an appeal to you. She couldn't hide herself from God and she couldn't hide herself from the prophet of God. And lost people don't hide themselves from God's people either. We can tell by their lifestyle if they need the Lord as their Savior or not. And some are like the Laodiceans. They're lukewarm. They're satisfied as they are. And what they need is to renew their relationship with a Bible-believing church and get into the Word of God and seek cleansing and a fresh walk with the Lord. Like the parable of the sower. Many times the seed has fallen on hard ground and it can't produce. It falls on ground that is crowded up with weeds and briars, and it can't grow and produce any fruit. So the Word of God is for examination. It examines our heart. It cuts to the inner bones of the joints and marrow and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's for examination. It's also for restoration. When we hear the Bible preached and the Spirit convicts our hearts and we confess our sins to God, we can be restored in our walk with the Lord. It's also for transformation. God takes sinners who have very little profit in themselves to God, but by being saved and receiving the Spirit of God, they began to serve the Lord, and they are transformed into a new creature that is pleasing, acceptable in the sight of God. The Word of God is something for us not to hoard, but something to share with other people that they might hear the truth and be saved. Isaiah got a fresh vision of God in Isaiah 6, if you want to look there with me. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, meaning two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah got a fresh vision of God. He renewed his awareness of the holiness of God and therefore of his own sinfulness. Something about King Uzziah's death caused him to get this fresh, reviving vision of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Is there something that will have to die in your life to get your eyes focused upon God again? Is there something that will have to be removed? Is there something keeping you from your walk with God? He saw himself as unclean, and he was cleansed and purged. He heard the voice of the Lord, and he took up the call of God. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And he said, Hear my Lord, send me. He got transformed to serve the Lord. God said, Go tell the people. We need to get our eyes on the Lord, and we need to see ourselves in light of God and His Word and His holiness. We need to renew our devotion to God. We need to redefine our goals and priorities of our life. We need to restore our commitment and dedication unto God. We need to recover a passion for the lost around us. We need to remove sins and indifference from our life. We need to reunite with church and our membership with families, and get things right with ourselves and our families before the Lord. We need to relight the fires of evangelism to tell others about the Lord and warn them about hell. We need to realign our priorities so that we put God first and foremost and begin to put what is important first in our lives. Isaiah had an upward vision to restore his focus on God and God's holiness. And God removed something that brought his view back to him. Secondly, there was an inward vision. He saw himself as unclean. Now, Isaiah was a prophet of God. He preached to the king's palace. He was relaying the message of God, and he was condemning all the sins of the nation of Israel. But he wasn't looking in the mirror very hard. When he was condemning the sins of Israel, he should have also been confessing his own sins unto God. And when he saw the Lord, he fell before him as unclean. He restored the passion. He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You may not quite comprehend what that means. For a person to surrender their life to serve the Lord, God could ask something very serious of you. He could send you to a foreign mission field. He could ask you to walk away from a career and train yourself for the ministry. He could ask you to stay right where you are and be a witness to your family and your neighbors and your friends. When you commit yourself to say to the Lord, "Here am I, send me," you must be willing to do what God would ask of you. And you can't know ahead of time what that might be. He had an outward vision. He saw the need for God to send him to the people. Who's going to speak for Christ in his stead? 2 Corinthians 5 says, we are in the stead of Christ. We're vicars. We stand in for Christ. He has given us his Spirit, and now we're to speak for him on this world. Witness to others with the word of reconciliation and ministry of reconciliation, that they could be brought to God and be saved. Who will go forth and tell the old, old story of the gospel message? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11. I went too far. I want you to look down at verse 32 in Hebrews chapter 11. Who will call men to God? Who will teach men the things of that they have learned so that they might teach others also? Ordinary people have done extraordinary things for God all throughout history. Chapter 11, verse 32, "And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They wait for that new body as we do. Joseph was rejected by his brothers, but he rose to the throne in Egypt as the second ruler over all of Egypt. And he saved the household of Israel, 70 souls that came down and received an inheritance in the land of Goshen, the prized treasure of property in Egypt. Because, not because they were Jews, not because they were shepherds, not because of anything they'd done for Egypt other than beg to buy corn, But because they were related to Joseph, Pharaoh loved Joseph. And because of that, he spared Joseph's people. And may I say to you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father loves His Son, and all He has given to His Son will be spared and rewarded one day before the Lord. Can we see the crisis that people are in our nation and get involved? We've had some crisis happen around our area here a few times in my lifetime. I remember one main one was Hurricane Hugo that came through and destroyed trees and telephone lines and poles in the road, and traffic couldn't go anywhere hardly in York County for 2 or 3 days until they cleared the streets. And we had one family that lived in Indian Land, and they were without power for 2 weeks until they finally restored power to their homes. But you know, we listened to a little radio station in Rock Hill. I've always felt so guilty because I was preaching a revival meeting in eastern North Carolina in the city of Dunn. And a day or two after Hurricane Hugo, I left and drove there and stayed that week and preached a revival meeting and left my wife and kids here to fend for themselves with no power and no water and none of those things. And thank God, in a couple of days, our power was restored at our house while I was gone. But I've always felt guilty about leaving them. And I went and preached that revival meeting. And during that time period, we listened to the WRHI radio station in Rock Hill. And that little radio station just forgot about programming. And what they did, they'd say, so-and-so just called and said they've got water on and they live at this street in Rock Hill and this is their address. And they said, if you need a shower, you can come to their house and get a shower. And if you need drinking water, you can get drinking water. And this service station has got ice over here at this particular place. And this place has got power back on. And you can get some food at this particular place and maybe some supplies. And they spent all their time on the radio programming doing that. Many people went out with chainsaws and helped clear trees from people's houses and in their driveways and did things for others that they'd never done before. Some were at their best in doing good works. But as something like that happens, there's always some con artists out there trying to sell people generators that they don't have or that won't run, or put a new roof on your house and they charge an exorbitant price, and things like that. But God will reward them according to their works. But so many did so many good things for others during that time. Hosea said, here's the need. Break up the fallow ground. Fallow ground is pasture land or crop land that has become overgrown with weeds and saplings and all that sort of thing because it's been neglected. That's what had happened to Israel's temple, and that's what had happened to the Word of God being hidden. It was not destroyed, it had been neglected. And when we neglect our walk with God, it gets overgrown, and it needs to be cleaned out and start over again. New ground, clearing new ground, is almost impossibly unheard of today except with bulldozers. And that's clearing trees and stumps and all that sort of thing to build a house on a piece of land that has been completely cleared of everything. That's tough to do. In the old days, they had to do it with a pair of mules and a plow and cut the tree and try to dig the stump up and all that sort of thing. It took a long time and a lot of work. But fallow ground was when little small trees and saplings and weeds are growing up. And it needs hard work to cleanse it and repair it and get those things out of their life that are there. Like many Christians, we neglect. We lack dedication. Our lives become overgrown with too many things of this world. We need to renew our devotional life, renew our attendance to the church, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and get all the way into a walk with God. It's like getting into bed, friend. Don't stay on the edge. You might fall out. My friend Earl White, his daughter works up at Captain Steve's. Joy and I went up there the other day. She came over to me. She said, "Daddy caught the biggest fish he's ever caught, and then he fell out of bed." You see, he was asleep dreaming that he was fishing, and he thought he was catching the biggest fish, and boy, he fought that fish and fought that fish, and he got to tossing around the bed and fell out on the floor. You see, he stayed too close to the edge, and too many Christians are staying too close to where they got in. We need to get all the way in, both feet, totally committed, and ask God to help us to cleanse ourselves and be usable and get a burden to take his message to others like we need to do. Thank you for being here tonight. Pray God's blessing be upon you and protect you as you travel back home. And thanks to Samuel's family, Mercy's family, for being here all the way from Wisconsin. I'm glad you got to come see your loving family, and we just thank the world of these folks. And another thing I like about Samuel, he speaks English so well, and I can understand every word he says. We got some other folks. I have to get him to talk to them and tell me what they said sometimes. They're speaking English, but their accent's so strong I have a little bit of a problem with it. So thank you, brother. God bless you, and thank you, folks, for being here.